Merkle Media.
Lashback Fridays here on Macroaggressions, taking you back to April 18th, 2021. SPARS Pandemic Playbook with Michael Halpern. If you're thinking of converting some of your soon-to-be worthless Federal Reserve notes into tangible assets like gold and silver, take a look at our website, www.macroaggressions.gold. Talk to Tony Arterburn over there at Wise Wolf, and he'll hook you up. Now, please enjoy the show.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary's Tech Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Keith Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Mumbai Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have a predita!
Swangles and Portland.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you're watching us on Iconic, Rockfin, YouTube, or Odyssey, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thank you so much. We appreciate your continued support and the support of our amazing sponsors like C60 Purple Power. The great Ken Schwartz, the founder and chief science officer, has been on the show to explain what it is that he discovered and why he went out of his way, left his job as a nuclear physicist, and started this company. What C60 is it's a naturally occurring molecule comprised of 60 carbon atoms forming something that looks kind of like a hollow soccer ball. This unique structure makes it what they call a free radical sponge. It's able to neutralize free radicals, reset itself, and do this again and again and again. It makes it the most powerful antioxidant known. It's several hundred times more powerful than anything out there on the market. Not only can C60 help maximize the efficiency of the cells in producing energy, but it may also provide cellular protection against many toxic environmental factors. That's why Ken got into this. He was a nuclear physicist, needed something to help protect his cells while he was working around dangerous material. And some of the guys said, you should try this thing called C60. Worked so well, he cured his macular degeneration, wound up starting a company to work on it full time. Now, of course, to be clear, this has not been approved by the Fraud and Death Administration, but I don't think any of our audience is going to put too much weight in that. If you are interested, go to c60purplepower.com. Just take a look, read up about it, see if it works for you. If it is, if it's right, if you like it, use the promo code MACRO to save yourself some money, free shipping within the United States. C60purplepower.com, promo code MACRO. Well, I'll tell you, about a week ago, I was on Twitter and I got a message from my friend Mike Halpern saying, I think you might want to watch this video. We've been working on this. It is very important. Take a look and share it if you think so. Well, it was SPARS. It was an interview with on InfoWars about SPARS. So I watched it, and I was stunned. I was speechless, and I got back in touch with Mike and said, will you please come on my show and explain it to everybody? Because I think this is super, super duper important for all of us. It's extremely alarming. And so without further ado, we have Michael Halpern from InfoWars here to explain what this is. Good to see you again, man. How are you?
I'm great. I'm great. Thanks so much for having me, Charlie.
Well, thank you for sending me that video because, you know, this was something I was sort of aware of. I mean, I had heard the name. I had the document. Admittedly, I hadn't even opened it and I hadn't looked into it yet. Then I watched your video with you and Alex and Rob Dew, and I went, "Whoa! Oh my God, I can't believe this is real." So let's just start from the beginning. Like, let's just pretend like nobody knows anything about this. What is SPARS? Why should we be aware of it? And what is the plan?
Just before we even get into it, I'm just going to share my screen and show the exact video that you're talking about so that the viewers and listeners know exactly what we're talking about. Basically, what Charlie is referring to is this video off of band.video. It has exploded off social media, little to my knowledge, and it is a complete overview of the SPARS 2025-2028 pandemic simulation. Just as you guys can see it, right?
Yeah, I can see.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. So basically, I started working at InfoWars about 3 months ago, and I in no way represent InfoWars. I don't represent Alex right now. I'm just talking as myself, as my own personal opinion. But part of being at InfoWars is there's a lot of documents coming through. There's articles every day that we're reading. There's videos I'm watching. And I first came across the Crimson Contagion document, which not many people really are aware of. More people are aware of Event 201 than I think Crimson Contagion. Event 201, I think it has more publicity. People have seen the videos. A lot of people have written books about Event 201, which was done by John Hopkins, and I think was funded by Bill Gates. Crimson Contagion has gone under the radar a little bit, and it is also a really shocking document. If anyone has not read Crimson Contagion, please do so. It is about the lockdowns and the timing of it and how the goal of everything is really just for them to fund more vaccines, fund these permanent pandemics going forward. A lot of people are really polarized about Donald Trump. The thing about Trump is that he was defunding a lot of these different programs at the CDC. I have tons of articles where they're like, Trump is not ready for this new pandemic that's coming. Fauci says Trump is going to be faced with a pandemic during his term. So Trump wanted to take control of a lot of these programs. I'm not saying I am for Trump. Trump came out for the vaccine. I don't think that was a good thing. But they don't like Trump because Trump does his own thing. That's my only point. So after I read that, and Alex put out a little segment about Crimson Contagion, if you go to band.video and you search Crimson Contagion, you'll see Alex talking about it. After that, I started looking for more documents, and I came across SPARS 2025 to 2028. And hopefully, Charlie can put a link to the actual document. You can read it for yourself.
Yeah, I definitely will put that in the description so that people don't have to search around for it. But yeah,
and they can just have their own opinion. The thing about this document that's so crazy about it is there's not much of an opinion to really even have. They say exactly what they're doing, what's going to happen in the future, all the side effects of the vaccine, and the timelines of everything. And so that was what I gave Alex for the show. And I didn't even know I was going to be going live. I found out that day I was going to be going live with Alex. Since it's already hit millions and millions of people, Alex says he saw one video had over 10 million views. So this has reached a lot of different levels.
It's massive, man.
General Flynn came out and said, we need an investigation on SPARS. That's also a band.video. So this really blew up in a way that I was not aware of.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I know why it blew up, because it's alarming information. And it's kind of hard. It's like when you find the bad guys have written the plan out for how they're going to break into the bank and everything, and then the bank gets robbed, and then you find the plans at the bank robber's apartment. You know, it's kind of hard to pretend that it's something other than a plan to rob this bank. And these guys have, you know, look, we can say what we want about these globalist maniacs, and God knows we have, but they are smart. Now, they're arrogant, of course, but they are smart, and they're thoughtful, and they plan these things out. They don't like to have a lot of variables if they can help it. So that's why we get things like Crimson Contagion. That's why we get Lockstep, and we get Spars and Event 201s. These are simulations. These are role-playing events. These are talking about future events happening. They write it out. They work it out. They talk it out. They film it sometimes. They put a lot of effort into it. There's a lot of funding that gets behind this. So they're not messing around. They're not smoking a joint in their living room, talking to their buddy about, hey, wouldn't it be crazy if we did this? No, these guys have invested the time and energy to put these things together in a way that really spells it out. And so when you come across it, I mean, it's hard to pretend that this is anything other than finding their blueprints for enslavement, is it not?
I think the way that they start off with having an idea, because these people are mad scientists, based on everything I know so far, it's like the worst person you've ever met, and they're really smart. It's a really dangerous combination. So what they do is they plant seeds in different places. They have Event 201, which is funded by this group. Crimson Contagion is funded by this group. Lockstep is another group. And if you didn't put two and two together, you wouldn't see it's all the same people running all these different programs. And I think a lot of your viewers and listeners have a better understanding of this, but the majority of the public just sees like Bill Gates on TV or Fauci now is in cartoons for kids. And it's like, oh, Fauci's so great. What they don't realize is that there's all the same money that's funding all this. And I think people are really waking up right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I just did an episode called The Gates of Hell, talking about Bill Gates and the way he has spread his money around to a variety of industries, especially the media, and how he has bought silence and complicity by all of these organizations due to the fact that, look, when you receive millions of dollars from some guy, it's hard to then run a story about what an evil person this guy is. I mean, it sort of buys your silence in a way. So let's start here. So who is behind this document? Who signed their name on it in a non-ironic sort of way? Like who actually wanted it to be known that they're behind this?
Okay, I'm just going to pull up this document so the viewers can actually see this. So these are direct quotes from the document. I'm just going to read some of them. So if you don't want to read this document, if you're just so busy, you don't even have to deal with it. These are all direct quotes from SPARS 2025 to 2028. After showing no adverse side effects for nearly a year, vaccine recipients slowly began to experience symptoms. As time passed and more people across the United States were vaccinated, claims of adverse side effects began to emerge. As the investigations grew in intensity, several high-ranking officials at the CDC and FDA were forced to step down and withdraw from government. Nearing the end of 2027, reports of new neurological symptoms began to emerge. Several parents claimed that their children were experiencing neurological symptoms. That month, a group of parents whose children developed mental retardation as a result of encephalitis in the wake of CoronaVax vaccination sued the federal government, demanding the removal of the liability shield protecting the pharmaceutical companies responsible for developing and manufacturing CoronaVax. The fact that the majority of U.S. citizens willing to be vaccinated had already been immunized, the negative publicity surrounding adverse reactions had little effect on nationwide rates. And this keeps going. But basically what that means is that their plan is not for everyone to die right after they get the vaccine. It's not for everyone to get neurological symptoms the day after. That's actually rare. And I've got a few articles pulled up of mostly Black people, like prominent Black people, Hank Aaron, Marvel's Marvin Hagler.
DMX.
DMX just died. So they know that the Black people respond differently to white people than Asian people to these vaccines. That's why Melinda Gates said, we're going to give this to Black people first. They already know what this is going to do to different races. She said, we're going to tier based on different demographics and races. So I think the first thing for viewers to and listeners to learn is that word stakeholder. They're constantly using that word in yes. all their publications. Stakeholder means world, socialist, communist, everyone's in this together with their plans, not your plans, their plans.
Right.
So if they say we're all getting vaccinated, we're all stakeholders in everyone getting vaccinated. That's why with the mask, it's like we all need to wear the mask. And if one person doesn't, this whole pandemic is their fault. It's communism. It's socialism. We're all in this together.
Right. Yeah. Well, I don't want to be in this together with half the people that I see out there in the public. I'm not in it together with them. I'm on a different level. I'm not saying I'm on a better level. I'm just saying I'm on a different level. I'm not proud of my fear. I don't embrace my fear. I don't see it as some sort of virtue. I'm not mentally ill. I mean, I'm not participating in all of this stuff. I refuse to. And yet when you calmly and rationally and logically point out some of the flaws, the obvious contradictions in some of the science that we've been told over the last year, you know, the argument turns out that how dare you? You're putting me at danger by not wearing your mask or getting the vaccine. And it's such an easy argument to pick apart. And yet when you do, you get a vicious reaction from these people. But I would suggest that is fueled by television and whipped up into a frenzy of fear by the mainstream corporate whore media that just keeps banging on this drum. You know, is it two masks or three masks? Or when can we get the vaccine? Never once did we hear anybody say, anybody at ABC News or NBC say, you know, in the absence of this vaccine that we're all sitting around waiting for, why don't we do this? Get to the gym, get outside and get some sunlight, take vitamins, drink lots of water, improve your health, you know, exercise. We didn't hear any of that. All we heard was sit at home, watch Netflix, don't come out of your house or we'll beat you at the park or at the ice skating rink or wherever, and wait for the vaccine. Once the vaccine comes, then it'll go back to normal. Except by normal, we mean you'll still wear your mask. You'll still spread this stuff. You still have to isolate and, you know, you're not going to necessarily be any healthier. But hey, we're back to normal, right? It's so preposterous. And then, God forbid we have any of this documentation to then show to these people. I mean, their heads would explode if they were willing to accept it. But it's a fascinating sort of ride that we've been on where you can watch totally normal, rational people. You probably have friends. I know I have friends that will just do what they're told without any sort of thought behind this. And of course, if you're somebody that enjoys this content or the content provided at InfoWars, then you are by default not going along with the prevailing winds. I mean, you have a problem with authority, and I think that that's a good thing. So when we get back to this document, so we've got Johns Hopkins that I keep seeing their name. I mean, Event 201, they're involved in that. Guatemala syphilis experiment, they're involved in that. This is, to me, it seems like a very dark organization that isn't necessarily devoted to improving the health of people, but they seem to have some sort of globalist agenda. What is the role of Johns Hopkins Hospital in this, or Johns Hopkins Medical Center in this whole event?
So here's the actual document. So this is the SPARS document, and it shows right here, it's a bunch of these PhD people, Johns Hopkins. And it looks like I have to spend a little bit more time. That's after I do a bit more research. It's all funneling to the same groups. It's Gates. It's big money. It's like that deep, dark money that's funding these programs. And Gates can't just say, okay, here's everything. He puts it in different spots. So this is just one of the places that he funds this research, the same as Yale. If any of the viewers have seen that article, if you type in Yale funds study to see how to persuade Americans to take vaccines, he's involved in the universities. The universities are actually the perfect place to be able to do a lot of this research because they'll just comply. If you give them money, they'll just do whatever study you want them to do. Harvard's hooked in, MIT is hooked in, Yale, Johns Hopkins. This one's Johns Hopkins. Mm-hmm. The thing about this document, though, that makes it so weird is that the quotes are just so insane. Even what you were talking about earlier, Charlie, about how the conspiracy theorists will, here we go. Conspiracy theories also proliferated across social media, suggesting that the virus had been purposefully created and introduced to the population by drug companies, or that it had escaped from a government lab secretly testing bioweapons. That was a new thing when this thing came out. Oh, China was doing this testing in their labs, and that was the conspiracy theories. They already knew that you were going to say that.
This document was in 2017, correct?
This is 2017.
Okay.
So right now it's 2021. We experienced all this in the last year, so since the beginning of 2020. Now, let's just say we've been in this for a year. What's so crazy about this document is everything, every single thing that we've been like, wow, we discovered this. We discovered this. They already knew we were going to say that years before.
Wow.
Years before. Here we go. These groups initially came from four primary sources. They're talking about the groups that are not going to go along with the plan. They're going to reject this vaccination campaign. Muslim groups across the country who oppose the vaccine on the basis that the original formulation was used to treat pigs. African Americans who refused vaccination based on governmental experimentation on African American populations.
Tuskegee.
Alternative medicine proponents and anti-vaccination activists. They already knew you were going to reject it. They're telling their minions, their stakeholders across different industries, that these are the people that are going to be rejecting the vaccine and the program they're rolling out. So it's letting everyone know, hey, we've got a problem here. How do we handle these people? Let's devise this plan. So this is like the ultimate game plan in writing that I've seen so far, unless there's another one that I'm not aware of. This one is just really revealing.
So they identify that one of the communities is going to be the Black community. Now we know about the Tuskegee situation, and I think the Black community should rightfully be at least aware of what's happening. Then you see during this throughout this document that they talk about the need to use rappers as a promotional tool and to get them to get on social media and start talking about the vaccine in a very positive way. And they use certain hashtags in this scenario, this speculative scenario, of course, in 2017. They're talking about something that's going to happen 8 years in the future. Where are the commonalities between what we saw in this document and what we've been seeing over the last couple of months?
Now, the part that you're talking about is Rob Deuce's slides. I don't have the slides in front of me,
right,
but we do have the community immunity video that Run DMC put.
Run DMC. Okay. Yeah, they put that out. It's like a cartoon, yo, 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 vaccines are the bomb. Come get your vaccines. I mean, it was so contrived and fake. And here we go. Let's see if we can play it here. I don't know if we'll be able to hear it or not, but it has,
You could use like B-roll of this. You could see it like as we're talking.
Yeah.
But they're putting out this. This is what they're putting out to people.
It's first of all,
it's
insulting. If you're the Black community, you're like, oh, well, I can be convinced to do something against my own better judgment just by watching a cartoon. I mean, frankly, it's really insulting to the Black community. You'd be like, you think that you can convince me to do this just because Run DMC did a cartoon? But whatever. I mean, I'm sure it works on
they
on
got
some
the presidents.
People. The presidents, yeah. The presidents were out there. Yeah, I mean, listen, if three war criminals can't convince you to take this experimental rush-to-market vaccine that hasn't cleared human trials, I mean, who can? Oh, maybe, who's this? Morgan Freeman?
Yeah, we got Morgan Freeman coming out for this, too.
This is
crazy. Every day I wake up, I find more of this stuff. It's wild.
You know, it leads me back to a comment I've made multiple times over this last year, which is, you know, I wasn't alive for the Black Death, but I get the feeling it didn't need a marketing and public relations department. That it was evident on its face that there was a large, destructive, dangerous virus going through. But for 2020 and on, I've seen a massive PR campaign to get you afraid of the virus, to convince you to stay in your home, to try to shape your behavior, a hardcore modification program on people's behavior. And, you know, I'm glad, to be clear, I'm glad that there aren't bodies stacked on the sidewalk, but that's what we were promised. I mean, that's what we were threatened into our homes in, you know, in March of 2020. We saw the videos from China, the guy's falling down or the guy throwing up blood on the bus. And you're like, holy shit, I don't want any of this to happen. We didn't see any of that in real life. And in fact, you know, lots of people would film hospitals that were empty and the barges were empty and the Javits Center was empty and all of these places that were set up to house this massive wave of death that was coming our way, they were all sitting around empty. There was nothing going on there. And yet it seems like they've had to do the most creative and forceful marketing campaign just to try and get people to be afraid. And it reminded me of a similar thing. You know, we're all supposed to be terrified of terrorism, but another invisible monster that's coming to get us. It's everywhere. You can't really see it here in the US, but it could be around the corner. It could be a terrorist waiting to kill you. And same thing with this virus. It's everywhere. It's going to get you. You can't see it. And it occurred to me during the summer of 2020 that they just, they didn't have, you know, things were starting, the fear was starting to subside a little bit. Early on, there was no mask mandate or anything like that. You go in a grocery store, nobody had masks on or anything. And then it changed. And then it changed in like July of 2020. And then the mask mandate came out and it was heavy. Push, push, push. Everybody's got to have a mask. And it occurred to me that the reason for that was because there needed to be a visual representation of this virus because you couldn't see it anywhere. There weren't dead bodies everywhere. Nobody knew people that were, I mean, we didn't know people that were dying left and right. And so the mask became the symbol. So now when you go in the grocery store, you see everybody in masks. It makes it virtually impossible for you to pretend that nothing is happening because this is such an unusual occurrence to see everybody masked up. So it seemed like they needed to use the full might of Tavistock Institute and the mainstream media and celebrities and all these people pushing. It just seems a little bit contrived, is it not?
100%. And just to talk about it, no one can even believe you. I've had people tell me to my face, everything you're saying makes so much sense. But if I believed you, I wouldn't be able to go to work the next day, or I wouldn't be able to live my life. It's really this two separate realities, and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger every day. The thing about the other side, these liberal masky people, is that their side is closing in on them. They just came out and said, if you have the vaccine, you don't get any more privileges. You're going to have to keep taking more vaccines. Saki came out on TV and said, you're still going to social distance and wear a mask even after you have the vaccine. They just came out and said it's actually genetic engineering. It's not a vaccine. It's experimental and it is never approved by the FDA. So more and more keeps getting revealed, and they don't realize that the more they keep going down this path, it's closing in on them. The psychopath destroys everything in its path.
Yes.
It'll suck everyone dry. They just keep going along with this. This never ends for them. It only ends in not good things for them. So I think it's important for everybody to have compassion because we're all in this together, not in their plan, but we all share oxygen. We all share food. We're all human beings. And the moment we start to sector off people, the moment we become like them. And so I think it's really important to keep at these liberals, keep getting and having compassion for them because we're all one thing. And if they can get enough of those people, there's less of us, so we really need to have more compassion, I think, for everybody.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, and I'm as guilty as anyone of losing sight of that from time to time. I get frustrated. I try not to fight with people I don't know on Twitter or something like that because it's counterproductive, and I try to come at it. I mean, especially with my close friends that think I'm a bit unhinged with this. I obviously have much love and respect for my friends. They're my friends for a reason. So I'm willing to talk it out, and I get a little bit more of a benefit of the doubt to talk it out with them. But for the people that are just, you know, you have a casual interaction with on the street, or maybe someone sees you in the grocery store without a mask and wants to get into your face or something, it's like, it's frustrating and it makes me sad, but I also have to recognize that, you know, we don't know what that other person is going through. For all we know, they've lost their job, they've lost their livelihood, they've lost their hope, they've lost their mind. You know, they've been sequestered in their house for an unusual amount of time. Their whole life has been turned upside down. So, you know, and this is, I'm saying this more as a reminder to myself to have a little bit more, like you said, compassion for people, because, you know, ultimately they're not our enemy. The masked masses are not our enemy. They're just people that haven't yet figured it out. The enemy is really the predator class, the 1%, or however you want to define it, that's running these sorts of operations that are profiting at the tune of $5 trillion of the billionaire class has made in increased wealth since this pandemic has started. You know, if we want to prioritize, and look, I have, if someone's going to scream at me for not wearing a mask, I'm obviously not going to be happy about that, but I think it is very important for us to remember that, you know, if we sort out that problem, that 1% problem, then all of the other problems will fizzle away, or our differences won't be quite as pronounced with somebody, you know, if we were to take care of that situation. So let me ask you this about this document. It's set in America, but is it scheduled to be expanded to cover other countries, or was this just an America specific sort of idea?
That's the crazy part, is like the Crimson Contagion. If you read that document, mm-hmm. it's like it starts in China, it gets released in Chicago, like it's this huge global plan. This one is all American names for everything. It's so specific on America that it just makes you really question where is this money coming from and who is doing this. Like, what I'm saying is we're getting closer to like all the way in. Like when you have like a scar, like a splinter, you have mm-hmm. to get the splinter out. This is like we're getting closer to get the splinter out, because before it was like all this dark money in different places and who's doing this. And this is, we're getting really a lot closer and people are waking up. More people are finding more documents. Someone called into the Alex Jones show today and was like, I found this other document. So like, as a group, as a collective, we're getting closer to nailing one of these guys. All we need is just one court to prosecute one guy. If one court says, Bill Gates, you're going to jail, that's a huge win. That's a huge win. We haven't had many wins in the last year. Let's be honest.
Yeah, we really haven't. we could use a win. I'll take a moral victory at this point. I mean, something.
Something.
Something. What about, so who do we think is really involved? And obviously we've got Johns Hopkins is involved. But when we look back on some of these other simulations that tend to go live, we'll always kind of find the fingerprints of these NGOs and think tanks like the Atlantic Council and Council on Foreign Relations. Is there any indication that any of those sort of quasi-governmental groups are backing this financially, or are they involved in it in any way, shape, or form?
That's just my own personal opinion, and everybody has theirs. But here's where I'm at with it. We all have to make a decision. Do we believe in this corona craziness, or do we not? I'm still in the camp that doesn't. I really don't believe in any of it. I haven't met one person that I'm like, that person's sick. I'm in the no corona camp, but a lot of people are in the corona camp and they're constantly like finding, oh, it's made in this lab and there's genetic engineering. The only thing with that path is now you're believing that that a bioweapon was released on us. Mm-hmm. That's a whole nother path. That's a whole nother thing. So if you believe that a bioweapon was released on us, now it's like, is China responsible? Who's responsible? I'm in the camp of there was nothing released. I just see them spraying chemtrails in the sky. And I know they're putting chemicals in the food and the water. That's all I'm seeing. So I'm not in the corona camp per se, but I know DARPA has to be involved. They just started rolling out their own, I just saw it was on TV. DARPA was releasing their own digital tattoo microchip. So they are for sure involved. DARPA 100% involved. Yeah. If you trace that patent back, there's some articles on the internet about the Perbright Institute. Maybe you know about that. Perbright and DARPA, I haven't done too much research on. I have a feeling that they are somehow connected.
Well, early on, I made a speculative comment about this right when this whole thing kicked off. They said, well, you know, how did it get here? Did it get here from China? It came here from bats and everything. And I said, hey, look, man, what's to say it didn't? They weren't spraying us with this for months and months in advance. I mean, we know that's happening. The aerosol injection program, otherwise known as chemtrails, used to be considered conspiracy theory to a lot of people. And then you have John Brennan sitting in front of a House subcommittee admitting to it on camera, talking about it in detail. Nobody can any longer pretend that that's not an actual thing. So is it possible that we were sprayed like cockroaches with this, with some people being more susceptible and picking up a virus of some sort, or what? I mean, isn't that a more likely, if in fact it was an actual virus, you know, that was released on us?
That's if you're in that camp.
Right.
But Klaus Schwab came out and said Corona is not real and we're just using it to advance our great reset. So there's a lot of conflicting things. You just have to pick which side. And my only thing is that when you start believing that this was done by China and there's some Wuhan lab thing, it becomes a political thing for a lot of people and it distracts away from what they're already spraying on us, you know?
Right. Right. Yeah, that's true. When you make it political, when you say it came out of, let's just say the people say, well, it came out of a lab in Wuhan. Then you go, well, who was in charge of that? And they say, well, Fauci was the one that authorized that. And you go, okay, well, who's Fauci's guy? That's a Trump guy. So now we hate Trump. And it's like, no. Fauci has no loyalty or love for Trump necessarily. He was the one that said in 2017, this guy's going to get a pandemic during his term. Well, I would suggest that he probably knew a little something about that, considering this document was written in 2017. Maybe he just came right out of the SPARS meeting and walked right into that press conference and said, Donald Trump's going to get one of these during his presidential administration. It's a clearly advanced knowledge.
Where I'm at with this right now, where I'm at with my research, and I'm actually behind you. I really haven't been doing as long as you, so I actually still need to catch up. But it looks like Alice in Wonderland, where it's all the stuff that's going on and it's like a man behind the scenes with the controls.
Yeah.
I don't think there's as many people involved in this as we think. They just have amazing amounts of money and amazing amount of technology. Mm-hmm. It just looks like there's so many different pieces to it. They're all just reading off of the SPARS note cards. Like Psaki already knows what everyone's going to say. She's just reading off the note cards. Biden's reading off a note card. He said Lockstep and Dark Winter in two separate speeches. He's just like regurgitating the meetings he's already been in.
Yeah, it's clear. Yeah, he said Dark Winter several times. He mentioned Lockstep. These are two role-playing scenarios that outlined the a roadmap for global enslavement that he's quoting. He also used the term Build Back Better, which is 100% straight from the World Economic Forum's Great Reset. And so, it's undeniable that Joe Biden is involved in, I wouldn't put him at the top of the pyramid here, because I think that he's just going along with this agenda, but he certainly is aware of it in some way, because he wouldn't be using the buzzword. So somebody is giving him the script to read, and he is, of course, if nothing, an average script reader. So he'll do what he's told. But the media, I'm curious to know, what are your thoughts on the media's role in this? Because I've been saying that they're co-conspirators from the beginning, and that none of this stuff happens without a unified front by the mainstream media, regardless of their political leanings, left or right. Fox News is as guilty of this stuff as MSNBC is. And so what do you think about the media's role? And in this document, did they go into detail about how the media is used to push the narrative and to make sure that everybody is getting a sort of homogenous set of data points?
It doesn't say anything about the media inside of SPARS. I'm just reading through it briefly.
Okay.
But the more that I'm researching, people, I think what gets people, and I'm talking to the general public in general, is that they see CNN with the logo. They see Fox with the logo. AT&T owns CNN. Think about that. So your phone company that you use owns the media company that's on TV. There's not that many companies that own all of this.
Right.
China owns a big portion of Hollywood. we just have to follow the money. I'm not at a point where I can just say I know exactly where all the money is going. I just don't think there's as many parties as we think. There's not as many people in these meetings as we think. And the more we can just direct and figure out exactly who it is, then the curtain begins to go away. And that's where our attention needs to be. It's not political. They're using race as just a cover for them to roll out the technology. Oh, blacks get the vaccine first. There's white people getting killed on the streets. There's black people rioting over the George Floyd thing. First of all, George Floyd was 100% ODing on fentanyl. They said he had 3 times more fentanyl in his body than is normal. And I'm not saying that cop didn't kill George Floyd. I'm just saying that they're choosing which narrative to use to gaslight everybody. And I do feel bad for a lot of people that just watch the TV and just believe it, because this has been a really crazy time. And maybe Trump did give people an opportunity to, and a lot of these companies were moving back to the United States. He was creating more jobs. Now we have no chance. Like, Joe Biden is a corpse. The only shot that we have is to band together and see each other as brothers and sisters and the same human family. It's the only chance we have, because our country is dying. And I think you wrote a book about that, you know?
Yeah, I did.
Like, there may not be a country soon. We have to create our own country. And the only way we could do that is how to learn how to work together and be together.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really a good lesson, because, we've been divided. And of course, that's the game. That's the game they play. They're good at it. They're divide and conquer. It goes back to, the ants and the grasshoppers and all of that. And why do they go after us? Because, if you let one ant stand up, then they'll all stand up. And that's kind of where we are at this point. In this document, one of the things that made my skin crawl was the fact that they started talking about fake names of, or imaginary names of vaccines, and then it sounded like they were mimicking what the vaccines were going to wind up in real life. So they started naming them. What's the vaccine component to this whole SPARS document? It seemed really nefarious to me, and super obvious that the vaccines are a Trojan horse. What sort of information can we gather from this?
The name of the vaccine that they use is called Corovax, and the name of the other name of the drug that they're promoting in the exercise rhymes with remdesivir. I don't have the exact name in here,
right?
But everything rhymes. They say exactly that they're going to be 2 presidents, and that one's going to step down for health reasons in the exact year that Joe Biden is president, and he most likely will be stepping down after his first term because he has dementia. It says that, and they're both Democrats. It says that the Republican Party seized the opportunity to publicly disparage the president and his administration's response to the pandemic, urging voters to elect a strong leader with the best interests of the American people at heart. Does that sound familiar? They're talking about MAGA. So everyone's rallying behind Trump, rallying behind the Republican Party, saying America first. They're talking about those people in here. They're saying to determine how to best distribute limited doses of Corvax to members of priority groups across the country, the U.S. government resorted to new controversial tactics, notably having healthcare providers access patients' electronic health records to determine the number of individuals in high-risk populations receiving care in particular areas. Basically, what that means is that they're trying to get, they want to know exactly what illnesses you have, what shots you've had, and your blood type, all your health records, so they can target directly to you. We see articles on the news every day, big pharma is merging with big tech. Google is sharing their data with Apple, which is sharing it with the pharma companies. Bill Gates is invested in these different industries. I think the Google founders are also invested in big pharma.
Yep.
They're all invested in these companies together. They want to get your health records and tie it with the social credit score. Yes. So it's all one thing that they can now use and weaponize against you. But we've always speculated this. We put 2 and 2 together. They're literally saying this in this document.
Yeah. That's crazy. And the vaccine side effects, I want to get back on that for a second, because in this document, they talk about they talk about the effects, as you mentioned earlier, being sort of like a delayed reaction. You're right. If you give the vaccines and instantly half the population that's gotten it just falls over dead, clearly the other half is not going to be inclined to participate in this. But if it's a delayed fuse or a ticking time bomb that goes off a year from now, then you seem to get what the vaccine industry has always had, which is plausible deniability, which is that they say, like in the current vaccine schedule, taking COVID out of it, you want to sue, let's say your kid goes through and gets several rounds of shots and develops autism at age two. Then you try to take that to the VAERS court and they say, well, how can you be certain that it was this vaccine over that vaccine? Because if you're on the schedule, they've overlapped. So they've created a scenario where you're getting several shots. And if they come to try and pin the guilt on one particular shot, they just go, he did it. They point it. They go, how do you know it was me? It could have been the one you got 4 months earlier. It could have been the one you got 4 months after me. Therefore, you can't pin it down. So when I see this delayed reaction, it makes me think that it gives the pharmaceutical companies and the government too this plausible deniability where they can say, yeah, you got the shot. Yeah, all these people got the shot, but they didn't die from the shot. They died a year later. How are we responsible for that? I mean, I can't be, So it does create this murkiness where it's hard to kind of pin down any one particular thing. Even right now, we're seeing people get the shot, go home, drop dead the next day, and then on the death certificate, they're going natural causes. And you're like, what? How can you say that? So if they can do it when it's one day afterwards, certainly they're going to be able to do it when it's a year, 18 months afterwards. And they write that in this document that they talk about how this is going to be delayed sort of effects, right?
Yes. It says, as these cases emerged, patients began filing for compensation under the PrEP Act due to lingering uncertainties over possible links between vaccination and reported neurological symptoms. Their compensation requests were placed on indefinite hold pending further data analysis. This cohort, many of whom adamantly supported the CoronaVac vaccine initially, quickly took to social media to publicize their issues. Basically, what that means is that they already know that people are going to social media first. And even when DMX died, they immediately covered it up.
Yeah.
They actually don't want people dying right away. They'd rather them die or get some of these side effects a year later, a month later, 2 months later, like you're saying, so they can't put two and two together.
Oh.
Now, the autism industry is already completely filled with that. That's the whole thing with autism with the CDC. They could just swipe everything under the rug and say, oh, there's no correlation between autism. And I was watching some of these documentaries on autism. They're saying that it doesn't happen from one vaccine. Even that MMR vaccine, even though it's got a lot of publicity, it's usually not like that. They've already had four vaccines by the time they get the MMR vaccine, and that's the last one that gets them. Mm-hmm. Boom, and then they get the autism. Yeah. So these people are pure evil. It's so crazy to even think like that. Yeah. But as good as we all try to be, they're not like that. So if you ever met someone who's pure evil, it's them like that in white coats. It's so crazy to even think like that, but that's what we're really dealing with. And here's just some of the side effects that are inside of the document. And please, if you're watching this or you're listening to this, please just take a look at this document. It's really upsetting. CDC Advisory Committee on Immunization Practice identified the following priority groups for immunization: children aged 1 through 8, young adults 19 to 22 with chronic respiratory conditions, and pregnant women.
Hmm.
Severe side effects, including swollen legs, severe joint pain, and encephalitis, potentially resulting in seizures, seizure disorders, or death, occasionally occurred. Oof. They just admitted that the vaccine is going to kill you in the document. Crazy,
but you're a conspiracy theorist if you mention that, right? Even though they wrote it in their document, if you read their document out loud, then it's you that's crazy and not them. This is frustrating.
Mind-boggling.
It is mind-boggling. It's really dangerous and dark. And I fear that we're going to have some sort of delayed, you know, a 12-month, 18-month time bomb. If this is, you know, if what they're writing about is true and they've got some sort of delayed reaction for the side effects coming, then we have really just started the clock ticking as of maybe a month or two ago, or maybe let's just say, call it the beginning of 2021. And so we could expect to see by 2022 a rash of death. And so I suppose if that happens, we'll have to pull up this episode and say, not that we told you so, but we told you that it was possible that at least they had written that this was part of the plan.
Okay, so let me get into the timeline. That was actually, I think, the most compelling part of the interview. And if you're listening to this, watching this, go to band.video and just type in SPARS 2025. You'll see it. It's has over 2.5 million views. That was the craziest part for me, is that we've all been watching the news or reading articles on our phone and been like, well, the vaccine's coming earlier than we thought, or, oh, Trump is doing Operation Warp Speed, or Fauci says this. Every date has been exact. That's what's so freaky. And it's actually converting a lot of these liberal masky people to be like, oh man, I've seen comments, people writing, and they're like, I just got the vaccine and watched this video. What do I do? Am I going to die? Like, we're flipping a lot of these people that already got the vaccine. So my whole intention was to get this out to basically, you could save someone's life. A lot of people have the option right now, have the big decision to make. Are they going to take this vaccine or are they not? Are they going to take the second dose or not? So people, this is a really important time. Please get this video out.
Yeah, for sure. So how did we get our hands on this document? Because now people are starting to talk about it. This seems like something that maybe you would want to put in the vault if you're these people and not exactly let it leak out. But in this information age, it's sort of difficult to keep things secret. Does anybody know how we came about this?
Here's the thing. All the villains on TV, they like to brag. I know it sounds counterintuitive, but they don't want it to just be a secret thing. And then if they wanted to kill everybody, they could just do it. Why don't they just do it already? They want to brag about it. They want to show it off. They want to just show you what they're doing.
And something you don't know, that sort of mentality.
Yeah, they're just sick. Here's the timeline. So in this document, SPARS emerges in 2025. So that's what threw a lot of people off, is that this document is a few more years in the future. There are a lot of people on the internet that actually think that this is in the future. My opinion, I think this is now, but some people do think it's in the future. So in this exercise, SPARS emerges October 2025. Just remember that date, October 2025. 9 months later, they get the vaccine. So when did Corona start? The pandemic was declared in March. When did we get a vaccine?
In December.
That's 9 months. So whatever we say on TV, oh, Trump fast-tracked it, it's in the document, 9 months. Okay. So October 2025, SPARS emerges. July 2026, we get the vaccine. Then 5 months later, everybody gets the vaccine. So on TV, what are they trying to do? They're trying to bait people into different groups. Mm-hmm. Oh, the old people get it first. Healthcare workers get it first. People with pre-existing conditions get it first. That's all an illusion. It's all done by the media. They already know when they're going to roll it out to everybody else. Right. It's all an illusion. They already have all the doses.
And they use that trick, that tactic where they say, rich people are cutting in line to get this vaccine. And then everyone who's not rich is like, how dare they? No, I won't let them. I'll get the vaccine first. It's like this... pretend this fake scarcity.
And they are churning out so many articles, because being at InfoWars, I'm reading articles all the day. That's just kind of like what I try to do, because I can see patterns. They are churning out so many articles every day. I can't even believe the amount of content on, old people got it. Young people are next. This person had this. AstraZeneca. It's all an illusion. They all are owned by the same stakeholders, and they get everybody... It gets opened up to everybody in 5 months.
Okay.
Then after that, it says right in the document. So 5 months later, everybody has access to it. Then it talks about post-SPARS pneumonia. Remember that.
Okay.
It says it. It says people get post-SPARS pneumonia. How do they get pneumonia? Fauci put a paper out in 2008 saying that the deaths from the Spanish flu, and they're constantly talking about the Spanish flu.
Yeah.
It says in 2008, there's a study, type in Fauci 2008 pneumonia study that is from the masks. So it doesn't say masks in this document, but you put two and two together, people start getting pneumonia afterward, I think from the mask, but the fact that it says it is so crazy.
Whoa.
And then after that, 2 months, March, April, May, it's in 3 months, then side effects begin to emerge. So this gets worse. Obviously, it says in the future what's going to happen to people. That's what freaked everybody out.
Yeah.
And so, okay, so let's just assume that December 2026 matches up with this month. 2 more months, let's just say in the next 2 months, post-SPARS pneumonia. 3 months after that, so in 5 months, people start getting really sick. So let's expect in the next 5 months, people start getting sick, neurological symptoms, and people are going to want to start suing, and they're going to realize that there's a National Vaccine Injury Compensation Trust Fund.
Right.
And then after that, 4 months later after that, then people start basically getting really, really, really sick.
That's right around January, February of 2022.
Yeah, let me just...
on our calculations. So, so we have that to look forward to, which is fun. Dead people. We may get bodies stacked up on the streets after all, right? Maybe this is where, you know, when they did Event 201, you know, there were a lot of similarities, a whole lot of similarities. But one of the things that, you know, people say, well, it said that it killed 65 million people and it hasn't killed 65 million people. I wanted to remind them, yes, that's true, but it also said it would take 18 months and we haven't passed 18 months yet. So we still have some time. I wonder if that is the payoff. The 65 million is part of this, you know, eventual death, calculation from the post vaccine.
So from today's date, it says, so you guys can read the document. It says 5 to 11 months. So within 5 to 11 months, then the side effects hit everybody.
Okay. So we're right now, we're 5 months from now,
yes.
Middle of April now. So yes. We're talking middle of September,
right?
When it starts and then goes all the way through the end of the year and the beginning of 2022.
That's what the document says. I just wanted to clarify.
If we're going off their calculations in terms of how many months out.
Yes.
Now, mind you, it also says 2025, so we'll pretend that it's not talking about the future. We'll pretend that the future is now, and it seems like the future is now. It seems like, you know, the 2020 or 2030 Agenda 2030. It seems like it just felt like it got ramped up last year. It felt like it got put, like everything was, someone got the message that, you know, 2030 ain't going to work. It's going to have to be 2025 now. Everybody kick it into high gear. So, and that's my speculation. I don't know that, but it just seemed like we were on this gradual sort of skipping towards a dystopian nightmare. And then all of a sudden in 2020, we just started sprinting towards it.
And it even says in the document, if readers and viewers want to check it out, it says that they're going to come out and say that SPARS, or in this case, COVID-19, has ended, but you still have to take your shot. So it says, they may even come out and say that all the pandemic's over. They're going to try to console everybody and say, thank you so much for your sacrifice. You're a hero. Even if your family member has died, thank you. We really appreciate your sacrifice. The public officials may even come out and say that. And then you still have to take a shot. So this never ends. So it even says it never ends. So in regards to this being 2020 and when they decided to roll this out, obviously there's a lot of factors. A lot of people are waking up. Maybe they really didn't have much of a time frame left. I mean, people really waking up. I mean, a lot more people than I even imagine. Even now with the mask, more people every day are not wearing the mask. When I walk down the street, less people every day are wearing the mask. So they have a short window here. They have to accomplish a lot. I'm surprised that they're so bold with it.
And the lady on CNN kind of gave up the game when she said, you know, what sort of carrot are we going to have to lure people? You know, if we open up right now, we're not going to have the carrot to lure them into the vaccines. It's like, she said the quiet part out loud. You're not supposed to do it. And you did it on CNN. Not that anybody's watching CNN, but when you do that and say something as crazy as that lady said, then people, they take that clip and put it out everywhere. You know, obviously then that's about the only time people are watching CNN is when they see clips like that. In this document and during your report on InfoWars, you mentioned about how certain people were going to wind up taking the fall for this.
Who was that? Who's going to get pinned? Is this going to get pinned on Cuomo and Fauci and these guys, or who's going to take the blame and who's going to get off?
Just to make one point on what you just said about that lady on CNN.
Yeah.
She used to be the head of Planned Parenthood.
Whoa.
I found out. So I think it's the Asian lady.
Yeah. Yeah.
We can look it up.
Oh, but Lord.
These people are all connected, and I think they're just not that smart. So what they do is they go to these meetings. They're in the CNN meeting. They're in the Johns Hopkins meeting, and they're told these talking points. They're told the plan. And then they like to talk about the plan. So she's like, yeah, we have a very short window here to get the vaccine passport. We have to let everyone know, this is word for word, that there's a lot of benefits to getting the vaccine. You get to have freedom. Like she's saying, we have to make sure we close everyone down and get and accomplish what we want to accomplish in order to get everyone out of this. So in their minds, they're all stakeholders. I think that's the most important part we have to understand, is that when they go to these meetings, they're being told that we're all stakeholders. Yeah. So when they come out and say, yeah, we're all going to be getting vaccines and passports, they don't realize that we're not involved in any of this nightmare. We don't want to be involved in this.
Right. So who gets the blame for it in this scenario?
Yeah. So please read the document. This is just my interpretation of the document. But a lot of people see Fauci and they see Gates and they see the local politics. And how many people have come out for this vaccine? They even got Trump to come out for the vaccine. They got everyone to come out for the vaccine more every day. I just saw there was something for LL Cool J had a meeting with Fauci. It's a live stream. They're getting everybody. And here's the thing about the SPARS document, and this is the crazy part. They're the ones that are going to take the fall for this. It says it. It says they're going to blame the politicians and health officials and people from the CDC and FDA are going to step down. And so all these liberals that you see that are taking the vaccine that think this is a good thing, they don't realize they're just going to burn their politicians and burn the health officials and just say, thank you for your sacrifice when your brother just died or your son just got autism. They're going to say, oh, Fauci's fired. Now he's gone. Sorry. Oh, you want some money? Here's some money.
Yeah.
It says it.
Whoa.
So there's no mystery anymore, because out of all the things out of the SPARS document, let's just say there's 20 things in there, 15 have already come true. It says there's going to be power outages, and that we have to make sure we know how to distribute vaccines when there's a power outage. It says that. We had that Texas thing came out. They had Schumer come out and say, oh, Texas didn't winterize for climate change. Biden said, oh, it's going to be a dark winter. It's going to be lockstep with the power outages. So they're in these meetings. They're rolling all this out. But their main weakness, and this is another document that I recommend everyone read. It's from the CSIS, and it's called, it's about vaccine hesitance, crisis and complacency. If you type in crisis and complacency, CSIS. It says they have two problems. One, weaponized social media. They know that people go on social media and talk. It's not good. That's why they're constantly censoring everyone on social media.
Yeah.
Two is vaccine hesitancy. I'm sure you've come across that word a lot.
Yes.
Charlie. But as long as they handle both of those, they continue their operation. If one out of the two fails, they have a flop campaign, and they can't afford to do that because this is their big plan. This is their big one. They can't afford one of those two.
It's so devious, and yet, you know, it's right there in front of our eyes. We can see this document. I'm going to put it in the description, or somehow I'm going to put a link to it. So, I would encourage people to take a look at this and take this video and share it with your friends and family, because they're not going to believe you. They're going to think that you're making it up if you say this, but get over to band.video and check that video out. Michael, where can people find you, support you, and follow your work?
Basically, I'm still in limbo, but you can go to mikehalpern.com. Okay. And you can subscribe your email. But I do want to do something bigger, and I want to figure out a way to be able to maybe collaborate with more people and get the word out. But also go to InfoWars. I'm working there right now. And band.video. Just support. And please write your comments. If you can do one thing, if you enjoyed this video, under Charlie, wherever you're... If you're listening to this on iTunes or Spotify or on YouTube, just a comment is all that me and Charlie would like. Just get some feedback. Go to band.video, watch it. Just write your feedback. You can mention my name if you want to. But we need more collaboration. We need more feedback, because no one's escaping this. That's my, if there's one takeaway that I want to make, is that a lot of people think that they're just going to make this money and like go on some island in Chile. The Chileans got destroyed this past week with the vaccine. There's no country you can go.
Yeah.
They have all the money in the world. And the UN documents say no one left behind. We need to keep reminding ourselves that. Yeah. No one left behind. They're coming after everyone eventually, and they're accelerating very fast. So we all need to get right with God or whatever good thing we've got, because we all have to figure out how to collaborate better, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's really good advice too. We can go back to hating segments of the population later. Like, this is kind of the priority, right? We gotta work this, because if we don't take care of this, none of that our petty differences are going to matter. We're going to be drooling, you know, or in some FEMA camp somewhere. And I hate to be dramatic about it, but really, I mean, you know, Alex has been screaming about this for a long, long time, things like this. And people go, that guy's just unhinged. Okay, listen, he puts on a show. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, he consistently gets a lot of this information right. And we have to acknowledge that. I give Alex a tremendous amount of credit for being part of my awakening. You know, I mean, that is something that I will always be appreciative of, because if it wasn't for a variety of sources, I wouldn't have come to the realization that a lot of what we're experiencing is very dark and very fake and orchestrated to work against us. I would be blissfully ignorant, just pretend, you know, maybe lined up for the vaccine for all I know. So this is an important topic. This is something that that it's worth sharing. So if you like this video, please take just a second and share it with your friends and family and get the word out, because you know that if you put something like this in some sort of algorithm, it'll be censored. So we're not going to get the added benefit of that. So Michael, you're the best, man. I appreciate you for coming on here and for being so diligent in your work and for getting this information out. And everybody, please support Michael and the work that he's doing over at InfoWars. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.